All right, that wasn't very funny. Okay. The Lord's been speaking to my heart about a deeper experience with his love. And I really think that this time we're in right now, that is meant to happen, something very intimate. Knowing his love, knowing not being how we normally think of knowledge, just ideas, but knowing being something that's experiential, something that happens to our life and changes us. Matthew, it says, I believe it's the 24th chapter, talking about the end time, the love of many will wax cold. And a sign of the enemy's moving is going to be that people are just go through so much that they just build walls and shells, and the love begins to wane inside and grow cold. You say, well, we can tell it's God if there's signs and wonders. I love signs and wonders, and God does manifest supernaturally, but 2 Thessalonians talks about the enemy, you know, that chapter about the being slain with the brightness of his coming, how the enemy has to be exposed, but talks about the enemy also moving with lying signs and wonders. Jesus spoke that there'll be those that say, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons? He goes, I don't know who you are. I never knew you. So the real issue is, and this is not to say we don't need the word back with signs and wonders, but what are we looking for? Everything God will do will be marked by his love. The fruit of his love will be there. Ephesians 3:19 says, to know the love of Christ, which is greater than knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of Christ or of God. To know the love of Christ, again, it's not having a book, you know, a pile of sermons on love. It's you experiencing that touch of love. That's the price he paid. When he went to the cross, when he shed his own blood, it was so that we wouldn't have a book we just read, a new law. This is the new law from Jesus. But we'd be able to experience the very nature of the Father through him. Amen. And who is the Father? 1 John, God is love. What this leads to, it's greater than what our minds can comprehend. It's greater than our ability to figure life out. I think a lot of our anxiety comes from we're in this mental state of trying to figure out what God's doing and what life's all about. But really what we need is a greater experience of the love, because that's a greater reality than the functioning of our minds. We're not to be limited by our thinking or even controlled by our thinking. But there's a freedom that God wants to bring when we touch that love. We define freedom differently than God does. To us as humans, and I think a human perspective on freedom or earthly perspective would be, I'm free, I can do what I want to do. I'm free from pain, I'm free to live the kind of life I want to live. But from God's perspective, freedom is, I'm free to experience who my Heavenly Father is. It's freedom to know the love of Christ. And what does it say in this verse, Ephesians 3:19, that when we experience this love, we're filled to the fullness. In other words, when that love becomes real, we experience the fullness of God in our life. Colossians 3:14 says, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. This experience of love leads to fullness and oneness. Another translation of Colossians 3:14, put on and wrap yourselves in unselfish love, which is the perfect bond of unity. For everything is bound together in agreement when each one seeks the best for others. Amen. I think that without this experience of love, we remain slaves in our thinking. We can be devout churchgoers, have our doctrine down pat, But the basic mentality is not going to be the mind of Christ. It's going to be that slave mentality without that touch of love. Jesus, and we're going to go here in a little bit, talked about John 15, a change of relationship. He said, you're no longer slaves, but you're my friends. That friendship is an experience that results from his love. You don't leave the slave mentality because you talk yourself out of it. You stop thinking like a slave and start thinking like a friend of God because his love becomes real to you. So you must leave the slave mentality and accept the friendship Jesus has extended to us. It's Christ's love that fulfilled the law on the cross. The slave mentality is about basically serving the law. We're under the law of requirements. Slave mentality is about a distance between us and God, and we're being judged based on our performance. That's what a slave does. He performs. He's judged based on his obedience to doing certain things, not doing other things. That's all about the law. Jesus fulfilled the law fully on the cross. And it's that connection with love where we realize that and where we're set free from that slave mentality to serve the law. Instead, where does this freedom of love lead us? Well, glad you asked me that, because it's Galatians 5:13. Through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's what the freedom is Paul is talking about in Galatians 5. When we're truly free, it's because we've experienced his love. It's not freedom for our ego to go wild and say, now I can do all the things I want to do. But we're free to serve one another in love. The whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's what the cross was. Jesus went to the cross, and the reason he was able to go through with it was because of the love he had for the Father and for us. For God so loved the world, he gave his Son, and the Son so loved the Father and the world that he said yes to the cross. So that's why it says the whole law is fulfilled in that one word. That act of love was the fulfillment of something that we could never do in our flesh. So we don't have to be slaves. A slave is saying that I still have to fulfill the law for God to accept me. A friend says, I'm not under the law. I can be led by his Spirit. I'm being directed by his love. Another translation, Galatians 5:13, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. All we know about God's word is summed up in this: love others as yourself. That is the true act of freedom. I like that. We look at John chapter 8. It's a story where the woman was caught in adultery and brought before Jesus. And I know everybody knows the story. The Pharisees were trying to trap him, and they said, under the law, this woman should be stoned, condemned. And after a while, Jesus was deliberating and writing. He said, you who is without sin, cast the first stone. And they all left, sorrowful. And he looked at the woman, and he said, where are those that condemn you? And she said, they're not here. Jesus said, I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. Okay, very familiar. But as a friend of God, we are given new set of eyeglasses or new set of eyes. Yes. We see things through the eyes of grace. Without this experience of love and friendship, if we're still in that slave mentality, we see through the eyes of the law. The Pharisees and Jesus saw the same problem. This woman was caught in adultery. This woman was sinning. This woman was imprisoned by lust. Probably a number of other things. The difference is when our relationship changes into a new covenant one of friendship, we see the same problem that someone that is religious sees. We just see a different solution. Grace opens up a different interpretation of how to relate to that problem. The Pharisees looked and said, "We see your adultery. The law says you should be condemned." In other words, your behavior, your problem is bigger than you. They couldn't separate the heart of this woman from the act, the sin that she was committing. But when we're moved by the love of God, God's love and grace don't condone sin. Jesus didn't say, go and continue on as a prostitute. He said, go and sin no more, whatever she was doing. But grace and love always deal with the primary problem first, which is one of condemnation. Jesus looked at the same problem and said, I've got to set this woman free. Her heart needs to be free so that she can live differently. When we're in that slave mentality, we're always going to be judgmental. Why? Because as slaves, we feel judged ourselves and we feel unworthy ourselves. So when we look at people's problems, there's going to be that judgmental attitude of the law says this is what's supposed to happen. Well, you can be really sharp in discerning problems, but you're not going to find solutions unless you've been touched by God's love. Grace will provide the greatest wisdom to the problems we have in being human. Jesus looked at the same problem. He ministered grace to this woman's heart. He lifted the condemnation off her. And he said, go and sin no more. In other words, now you're free. You don't have to keep living that way. That's the answer we're to bring to this world. Everyone can define the problems. We've been doing that for generations. Where are the answers? They lie in the grace of God, in the love of God, waiting to be manifest through his people. Grace is the antidote to condemnation. Jesus did not condone the sin, but he's able to focus on the heart of the woman and not her problems. So it's that grace that comes from, again, experiencing his love that ministers true freedom. John chapter 15, verse 12. And we're going to sum up the word here. This is the change we're going through now. From slave, thinking like slaves, to realizing our relationship as friends. Here's what Jesus said. Love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. In other words, serving others is more important than serving our own ego. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Uh-oh, there it's back to commands again. What did he command them? Love one another as I have loved you. So the command is to experience love. And when we do that, our relationship with Jesus, the Holy Spirit, with the Father changes. It's now one of friendship. We're on the same page. We're not striving to get God to accept us. It's because we know he accepts us, we're able to carry out his will. We're not crying out in repentance because we feel God's mad at us. Because we know we've been forgiven, we're able to be honest about our sin. We're able to repent knowing that God accepts us in his love. Is no longer do I call you slaves, and I no longer call you slaves, verse 15, for the slave does not know what the master is doing. But you are my friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. I love this. What he's saying is when this relationship changes and you know your friendship, that bond of friendship with the Father, then all that he has shown me, I can show you. So much is hidden from us if we maintain that position as slaves. We see a little bit, but not much. But in that relationship of friendship, that's when all the hidden mysteries, the things that our heart yearns to know and understand, Jesus freely opens up those things to us. The Holy Spirit opens up by revelation to us. In other words, as we experience deeper love, that prophetic awareness is going to grow and our perception is going to open to the things of the Spirit, of what God has hidden, not from us, but for us to discover. Amen.